in places all around the world. In fact, we actually served for 1 year in Israel back in the early 90s, and that's where Alistair and Andrea also worked with a club in the city of Ramallah. But so it's a great privilege to be here and to share with you in this anniversary of 24 years with Awana. Now, the thing you have up on your screen is the title I'm asking, what in the world are you doing? And I look in your bulletin and I see you're doing a whole lot of stuff. I see stuff in locally. I see stuff in Prince George. I think I saw Ghana, Lebanon, Syria, Japan, and a few other places all in your bulletin. So you're doing a lot. And I know you've also planted a lot of churches, a lot of Awana clubs in Richmond and so forth as well. So what in the world are you doing? You're doing a lot, but don't stop. What I'm going to do this morning is read this passage actually a little bit later. I'm not sure why that one just popped up there. Okay, there you go. So what in the world are you doing? You're doing a lot. But what I'm going to encourage this morning is not so much to look back over this last 24 years, which is fantastic, but to look forward to the next 24 and maybe the next 50. Because if we don't, we'll see the consequences of that, hopefully, within this next 20 minutes or so. When we think of Awana, we think of flags. We think of Cubbies and Sparkies and TNT in their little red uniforms, which is gorgeous. We think of games floors with circles and game squares and bean bags. Older ones, we think of the old grey uniforms. We think of King James only. And yet Awana is huge beyond that, way beyond that. And it's a little bit of that that I want to look at this morning. God is not only working in churches through Awana, but in all sorts of other places, in prisons. I'll talk about this a little bit later on. We're currently in about 50 prisons in the United States. And just 6 weeks ago, Awana opened up in Cuba, in prisons in Cuba. Now, that seems weird, just as a communist nation, but Awana is now doing Bible studies with inmates in Cuba. Refugee camps. I think you mentioned earlier about being in Syria. There's a book coming out quite soon. It's simply called Thank God for ISIS. Now, we scratch our head and think, why should we thank God for ISIS? They're chopping the heads off believers. They're ripping Syria and Iraq apart. They're throwing millions of refugees into Europe, into Africa, into all parts of the Middle East. And we're saying, why should we thank God for ISIS? Already there are Awana clubs in the refugee camps in Jordan. Can you believe that? Thousands moving across the border from Syria into Jordan. And Awana is there already with clubs. There's a church in Amman, Jordan, which I'm told has 600 members, 600 families, sorry. And they have sponsored 600 Syrian refugee families. So one family has taken on under their wing another family. So a church of 600 has taken on 600 families. And that is going to be 600 Muslim families exposed to living among believing Christians. So one is doing lots of stuff. Refugee camps, I think that I mentioned that one. Refugee camps, slums. One of the biggest slums in Africa is the Kariba refugee camp in the city of Nairobi in Kenya. A population of 1 million people living in the most unimaginably awful conditions. But in the middle of those 1 million people, slums, there are 411 Awana clubs. So again, reaching these boys and girls all over the place. The mission of Awana, if you look at their new website on, by the way, Awana Canada is coming out with its own new website in about 6 weeks from now, just in time for the new club year starting in September. So you don't have to through Chicago and all the problems that that sometimes entails. We'll have our own website for you. But right on that, the mission statement is basically that Awana's mission is to reach every child everywhere. Right now, as you're bringing your children through the books, and I was just saying to someone this morning, wouldn't it be interesting if you could go back this last 24 years and see how many children you've had in club, how many books they have completed, how many awards they have won, and how many total number of verses would have been memorized in 24 years by whatever number of children you've had over all those years. Probably in the tens of thousands of verses. And those verses will not go lost. They'll serve a tremendous ministry in the future. But those verses are not just things you memorize, like we memorize the national anthem or memorize some songs we particularly like. These verses are the Word of God. And it was David said in one of the Psalms, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And he goes on to say that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's all sorts of things that says in the scriptures about the word of God. The word of God is pure, it is righteous, it is a teacher. It says all scripture, in other words, the word of God is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. So the word of God that your children are hiding in their hearts will bear a harvest next week, next year, 10 years from now, maybe 50 years from now. We don't know when, but God has promised that which they have memorized, that'll be used for them. Right now, Awana is reaching 3 million children each week in 115 countries throughout the world. 3 million. And we're aiming for 10 million by the year 2020, and we seem to be on good track to do that. 10 million children per week. God has opened the doors of opportunity for 3 million per week, as I've just said. And the reason we do this, so I've been to Awana, my wife's been to Awana for, I don't know, 30-something years. On Thursday night, we had a board meeting, and one of our board members this year got his 49th year pin. So he's been in Awana 49 years. Tremendous ministry, tremendous impact. And the reason we do this, the reason your leaders are here every week, week after week after week, is because they know the Lord, they love the Lord, they have a passion for the Lord, and they have a passion to reach children for the Lord, because that is ultimately the only thing that really matters. A few numbers for you. And these numbers are current as of about 2 weeks ago. In the U.S., there are about 11,000 clubs. Some are about 11,000 with 725,000 children each week. In Canada, the latest numbers as of last Thursday night are 473 clubs. 30,000 children. Now, I'm going to put the next three in a group, Kenya, Tanzania, and Zambia, between 14 and 1,900 clubs. Now, why that is important is that Awana started in Zambia about 35, 40 years ago. And over the first 30 years, it did very, very little. It grew up to about 30 clubs, and then just sat there. Then Awana came up with a new program called Seed Planters, much similar, a bit of an extension of what you would call Adopt a Club. Now, I'll not explain Seed Planters to you, other than it works. From 30 clubs about 10 years ago, Zambia now has 1,400 clubs. So from 0 to 30 in about 30 years, from 30 to 1,400 in 10 years. And joining in with that was Kenyans and Tanzania that said, we want in on this action as well. And the club growth among the churches in that part of the world is just staggering. Now, the really fantastic one, although it's a small number, is Rwanda. Rwanda's a neighbor of Uganda, which I don't have up here. But the club program, the Ministry of Awana got into Rwanda just a few years ago and exploded among a few local churches. And they said, look, we want to bring this across the mountains to the other side of Rwanda to the Muslim communities. And Awana in Chicago were saying, no, hold back, wait a minute, we have to do this properly. Don't go ahead too quickly or we'll get it wrong. But the club said, we can't wait, we have to reach these people. So they climbed over the mountains themselves, and so the Awana clubs, brand new clubs on one side of the mountains, which is mostly Christian, is moving to the other side of the mountains, which is mostly Muslim, and starting clubs in the Muslim part of Rwanda. And I'm told that there's one club that has 1,200 children in 1 year. 1,200. What are we looking at here? We've got 30,000 in all of Canada, so that would be about 20 clubs. So 1,200 in one club. And a big majority of these are Muslim kids coming to Awana, to hear the gospel. I have a list of one there called Restricted. There's some countries we simply don't give out much information, such as Cuba, China, Myanmar, Bhutan, Tibet. Well, these sorts of places that are, Awana's there, but it's not public the way it could be here. But we think there's somewhere in the ballpark of about 42,000 children hearing the gospel each week in about 1,700 clubs. India is just going crazy. India was the same, very few clubs for a long number of years. Then Seed Planters came in, and all of a sudden we have 7,500 clubs in India, the second biggest in the world now behind the US, with up to over 500,000 children each week hearing the gospel. But the news is not all good, and I'll come to that in a few moments, because millions of children nationwide, and especially in Europe and in North America, they're growing up without fathers and mothers, which I'll talk about in a few moments, for a variety of reasons. Many, especially in southern US, just end up in prison. Many just, dad decides to walk off and abandon the family, or dad is maybe still at home, but just sits and does nothing with his kids, does nothing with his family, sits and watches television all day, or boozes, whatever dads, delinquent dads do. But simply kids are growing up without a dad and often a mum in the home. Awana developed a program for this called Malachi Dads. Now, this is based on a passage in the book of Malachi chapter 4 where it talks about a dad and a son reconciling again. And so Awana's called this program Awana Dads, and it's especially to meet the needs of dads who have basically abandoned their responsibilities. And parallel with that, for mums, it's called Hannah's Gift. Essentially the same program, one for men, one for women, slightly modified. Now, these are especially designed to reach dads and mums in prisons in the US. The epidemic proportions of children growing up without dads now is quite frightening. The statistics are seemingly about 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 kids don't have a real dad at home. Either in prison, divorced and ran off, left kids behind, or, as I say, at home, but doing nothing. So they're still there, but they're basically a piece of furniture. And what the Malachi Dads is designed to do is to spiritually train them so that they themselves will train their kids. And I think you'll see the bottom lines of the thing up there says the program develops the father's skills in how to be a good father, how to be a spiritual leader. It educates them in basics, teaches them moral standards, and teaches them trades or vocation that they can actually use in the future. Now, why this is fascinating, the first time I heard this, I found it almost hard to believe. The biggest security, highest security prison in the US is called Angola. It's in Louisiana, and Awana first got in there in 2004. Now, why is this critical? Because almost everybody who is in Angola are never going home again. Nearly all death row. So these are people who have overshot the limits. They've been tried by the laws of the land. They're in prison. They're going through appeal after appeal after appeal, but ultimately it's death row. Mum, kids are left behind outside. So Awana got in 2004. It was all kept quite quiet for quite a while until all of a sudden they started to see huge changes within the inmates in these prisons. Many were becoming saved and their lives were changed. People who were just bullies, who were violent, who were out of control in the prisons, were now becoming calm and peaceful and basically showing the love of God to others. So many of these were getting saved, they started to allow the children to come in to visit them. And these incarcerated fathers were now believers and were now training their children because they've been taught in these five key areas. They realized too late, unfortunately, that they had abandoned their responsibilities. But now they were teaching their kids, and many of their kids were being saved in the prisons. Then the kids are going back home after visiting dad in prison and sharing the gospel with mum or their brothers or sisters or cousins, whatever relatives and friends they had, and some of that leading to people being saved outside the prison. So if you imagine the craziness of this, people who are incarcerated on death row being saved by the gospel, teaching their kids in prison, and their kids going back to outside the prison and witnessing to others. Totally back to front the way the world would see it. But this program started to become so successful in Angola that all our wardens and all the prisons wanted it, and it's now in about 50 prisons in the US, and roughly 1,500 men, we use the word graduated, but they basically have become believers. The other exciting news is that just 6 weeks ago, this program has been introduced to some of the prisons in Cuba. And I mean, that's crazy. Cuba's a communist country. Rule number one, there is no God. So Awana is mostly underground, let's say, in Cuba, operating under a different name. It's not called Awana, and obviously not called it out here, but it's operating alive and well, healthy, just over 300 clubs, and now inside the prisons in Cuba. So Awana is a lot more than simply a little game floor. Now, this number here should cause sit back and look and think, what is happening? Canada, we said, had 471 clubs. Germany has 8. Britain, the UK, which is twice the population of, more than twice the population of Canada, has 8. If we have 460, they should have at least 900 or 1,000 clubs. They have 8. Spain, 4. Portugal, 3. Everybody else, 2. In other words, Awana is almost not in Europe at all. It's not that Awana is not trying. It's the churches don't want them. And I shouldn't even say the churches. There really aren't any churches. Now, put your mind back 500 years ago. This is where the Reformation happened. This is where Luther stood out and said, look, what is going on in the church at that time is wrong. We need to fix it. And so the Reformation happened, and Europe went on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching, teaching, especially through Switzerland, Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, England, Ireland, Scotland, all those places were just on fire with the gospel. And today, dead. Just dead, spiritually dead. The question is, what happened? What went wrong? Why can Awana not get in there? Awana can get into slums, they can get into prisons, they can get into refugee camps, and they can't get into churches in Europe. So what is going wrong here? Well, I think this passage from Joshua 1 helps us see the picture. Now, where we are here, we're standing on the top of Mount Nebo. The children of Israel have walked around the wilderness for 40 years. They're on the mountain. They're just about to enter the promised land. Moses has died, and the chain of command has moved over. The leadership has moved over to Joshua. And Joshua says this to the people. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do, and I'm going to skip over the next slide, same slide with a bit of color. Being careful to do according to all that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Now, in a few moments, we'll go back to see what Moses told them to do. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have a good success wherever you go. This book of the law, in other words, the scriptures that they had at that time, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. All that Moses was saying to them, and that Joshua was saying to the people, was, look, study the scriptures, meditate the scriptures day and night faithfully, and then you'll have good success. Now, unfortunately, a lot of our television preachers have stretched to say you're going to be wealthy and healthy and never get sick, and you'll all own aircraft and big cars and big homes and big everything. Really, the context is obvious here. This is a spiritual message for our people. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But the key phrase there is a bit in red, meditate on it day and night. Study the scriptures. Teach the scriptures to your kids. And the answer, Joshua, when Joshua told them that, they said, all that you have commanded us, we will do it, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. So Joshua said, do this, meditate on it. Do what Moses told you. And what they say, we will do it. All that you have said it, we will do it. But what did Moses tell the people? And there's a verse you probably a lot of you are familiar with. It says, now this is the commandment and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons' sons, by keeping all his commandments all the days of your life. Then the bit I want to go is verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God, your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And these words that I command you shall be on your heart. And this is the verse I really want you to take home today. You shall teach them, in other words, the word of the Lord, what you're doing with exactly this in Awana. When you're teaching the kids their books through the books, and teaching them their verses, you as mums or dads or grandparents, as you're teaching your children, you're doing exactly this. Teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them, in order to talk of the verses, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down, when you rise up. And then this bit that I've underlined, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, I'm going to skip forward and then come back to this verse. The Jews take this very seriously, some of them. And what you see on this photograph here is a guy with a little box on his head, and he's got these black straps around his forearm. You see that? And there's a better one with a black box on their head. Quite common to see this, especially in Jerusalem. Now I'm going to go back. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign in your hand. That's what they did, the black straps, they still do it. And there shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And there's this little box on their eyes. Inside that box and what they strap to their arm are these verses that I'm reading to you right now. And it's a reminder to the Jews to teach their children. And the Orthodox Jews are making a real good job of it. It's quite funny at times on a Saturday morning if you're in Jerusalem to see Dad heading off to the synagogue with about 45 kids behind him. All big, huge families, not really 45, maybe about 6 or 7. But they're all dragging by, all dressed up in black with little curls and all their stuff. But they're all heading off to synagogue, heading off to church, if you wish. And they've all been taught and are being taught. And that's exactly the example that we should be doing here. Verse 9 goes on to say, you shall write them, this is again the scriptures, on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And if any of you have ever gone into a Jewish home or Jewish building, every doorway, even inside the building, has got a little thing called a mezuzah, a little thing that's about that size, sitting on, nailed to the side of the doorpost. And again, it has these same scriptures in there, just as a reminder to teach their children. And when the Lord brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, basically again, you'll be successful. So the admonition here is teach your children, teach your children, teach your grandchildren. It's one of the must tell you this story. Two little grandchildren, one has just started their church up in Cranbrook about 6 months back in January. Maisie is 6 and her younger sister Talia is about 4. And Talia just sort of picks things up. Maisie learns stuff. And little Maisie was learning verses for club and she was saying her verses to her mum. And then her mum said, now, where do you find that verse, Maisie? Maisie is scratching anything. And little Talia pipes up and says, Maisie, it's in 1 Corinthians. And that's a 4-year-old. So teach your children. Talk to them. Explain to them. And do it all the time. We had a well-known musician, a Christian musician, whose children came to our club many, many, many years ago. But that child learned very, very few verses. And we asked the parents why not. The response was, they go to a Christian school and they get enough Bible there. Now that shocks me and it should shock you. enough Bible. That should not be in our vocabulary ever. These verses saying, teach your kids as you walk with them, as you talk with them, as you get up in the morning, as you send them out to school, as you play with them, you take them to hockey, take them to ballet, take them to piano, you have them at meals at night, you're watching television with them, send them to bed at night, teach them, teach them, teach them the scriptures. Now, I showed you those photographs before. About a year later in this story, Joshua's brought the people over the promised land, over the Jordan into the promised land, and he's talking to them again. And basically he said the same thing to them all over again. He says, look, teach your children the word of God. And verse 16 says, then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. So they're basically saying, we'll not abandon the Lord. And Moses or Joshua then gives this great verse, we all know, you're not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, then he will turn and do you harm, consume you, and having done you good. And the Lord said to Joshua, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And what Joshua really goes on to say, you can't do it. Sorry, I went on too fast. He says, you really can't do it. Says, you're witnesses against yourselves. You have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And then you go to the very bottom line, says, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua said, teach them. And the parents all said, we will. And Joshua said, you're not able to. They said, we can do it. And then we go forward about 40 years. 40 years. One generation. I remember when Alistair, who many of you know, our son, started Sparkies. He was... that was probably 32 or 33 years ago. We're talking here maybe 40 years. So it's a very small time span, really. It says, and Joshua died, and they buried him. Verse 10. And all that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose the next generation who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. 40 years. Here was a people who had seen deliverance from Egypt. At least their parents had. They'd crossed the Red Sea. They'd wandered in the wilderness. They'd seen the promised land. They'd been given the promised land. They'd seen miracles that you and I will never see. They saw stuff happen that we would just love to see happen. And yet in 40 years, it said they abandoned the whole lot. Why? Moses told them what to do. Teach your kids. Joshua said, do what Moses told you. We'll do it. We'll do it. But clearly they didn't. And the conclusion is obvious. The people did not teach their children. So this is why I'm saying to you that your 24 years you've done is fantastic. Brilliant. And I will probably not be alive to see your next 24 years. Maybe I will. But look forward to the next 24 years. Look forward to the next 50. And because it only takes one generation, as it did back then, to lose it. Europe has already lost it, as I pointed out to you earlier. Europe is spiritually dead. I went to university in the city of Bangor in North Wales. Now, most of you will not be familiar with this particular episode, but back in the early 1900s, just about 100 years ago, 1915, 1916, they had what they called the Great Welsh Revival. Hundreds, thousands of people were saved, especially coal miners. And among the coal miners, of course, at that time they used machinery. The machinery they used mostly donkeys and mules to cart coal up out of the mines. And the story is told that the language of the miners was so foul and so bad that that's the only language the donkeys understood. And then when all these coal miners became saved and converted and their language cleaned up, and these same miners would talk to the donkeys and give them instructions, the donkeys didn't know what to do, because all the donkeys knew was bad language. So the whole country changed. Churches opened everywhere, and in that little city of Bangor, along the main street, there were 28 churches. That was a town not much bigger than the size of Ladner, just a small, maybe a little bit larger than Ladner. Today, there's 28 churches and 28 pubs. But the sad thing is the pubs are all open and every one of those churches are closed. Why? Although you had a huge revolution of people being saved only 100 years ago, they didn't teach their children. So I congratulate you in your 24 years. Continue to train your children, your grandchildren. Especially continue to equip your leaders. It's phenomenal to see you guys. I know a number of you from camp. You'd be commended for that. Say, move beyond your own church into a bigger world. You're already doing that in a phenomenal way. So I'll leave you with that message. Congratulations on your 24, but look forward to the next 24. Plan for 24. And the only way you can do it is, the verse we quoted earlier was, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the ultimate way to do it. Look to Jesus. You can't do it on your own. If you start to just run a club, in fact, I've tried hard for about 30 years never to talk about Awana clubs, but to talk about an Awana ministry. If you run a club, you're just running a club. If you're running a ministry, then you'll have a passion and a love for the kids, and a passion and love for the lost, and a passion and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Good morning, fellow brothers and sisters. My name is Anna, and I am the Awana 741 Commander of Pacific Grace MB Church. And so before we go to our video clips, I just want to say a few things with you. So first, I would like to ask all the Awana leaders, directors, helpers to please stand. So I ask all my leaders... Yes, leaders, please stand. Awesome. So I'm just going to quickly ask you guys to give them a round of applause. Thank you. So I just want to quickly introduce. We have Rianne, Joshua, Gabriel, Emily, okay, and Uncle Wilbur at the back, Amy, Auntie Maggie, Auntie Heather, Timothy, am I missing anybody? Beata. Yes. Yeah. And Benny, and Peter at the back. Yeah. And Auntie Anne. And Auntie Anne at the back as usher as well. So yeah, the reason for this is we want to acknowledge and recognize the essential parts that they're playing, they've been playing, and also they're continue to doing so in Awana, in children ministry, and also in God's kingdom. Awana's goal is to reach boys and girls with gospel of Christ and train them to serve him. And our Awana leaders dedicate their time and train our clubbers with their hearts, not only during Awana Club time, but also setting a lifelong example for our next generation to follow. And this is the beauty of Awana. Its purpose is to bring our kids to come to know, to love, and most importantly, to serve him. And this is exactly what our Awana leaders are doing. So thank you. And before I carry on, I kind of want to try out an interactive activity with you guys. Let's see how this works. So I want you to look at the person next to you. If you don't have a person next to you, find a person in front of you, behind you, okay? And ask yourself, do you think they're like a loving and caring and good Christian generally? Yes, yes. I hope it's yes. Yes, please say yes. Yes, awesome. And then my next question for you, do you think he or she has a heart for children, like they would love to work with children, serve the kids? Yeah, most likely. I got some nods. That's good. Good feedback. Okay, so now my final question is, do you think they would be a good Awana leader? Do you think they will be ideal to serve? Okay, my clubbers. Do you think they'll be an ideal candidate to serve in Awana? And I'm not asking you to answer this question, because unfortunately, those questions were actually not for the person next to you. They're for you, personally and directly for you. And you can only answer them for yourselves. You can only answer God if this is what God has called upon you. So you cannot be answering for the person next to you. And if this is what God has put in your heart, I pray that you have to answer and you have to respond. As we approach our 25th anniversary there, next year we're looking at almost 100 of clubbers, children and youth, coming to Awana 741. And we have leaders who would like to take a break, who have other commitments, so there's an urgent need to call for leaders to serve. And we're serving children from ages, like the youngest from age 2 to our teens at age 18, so there must be some way, some method that you can serve. And so we would love for you to talk to our pastor, Pastor Venus, or any of our leaders here. Today you'll be easily recognizable because we're wearing our uniforms. And I pray that God will provide the opportunity and open the door for you, and that he may lay it in your heart to serve Awana. And just want to close with a scripture in chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." With that, we present the following videos, and may God receive all the honor and glory. Thank you.
Blessing in my life. It's where I accepted Jesus when I was 6 years old. passion for the gospel as a child, and now I'm able to pour that into kids. And if I didn't have that, it'd be really sad.
Find that joy of serving with Christ, because it's a joy of being in ministry, it's a joy of serving.
The values of the career, the values of that you can call them Jesus loves them.
It's a great thing to have. It's a great relationship to build throughout the years.
And blessings that you get out of it are endless. And it's way more than 2 hours worth. We get bargained when we come to Awana, I feel like.
I feel very encouraged whenever I come to Awana club night, and I'm sure some of you already aware there are a couple of students leader that they will be our Awana leaders, not only for the next year, but we hope they will continue to grow by teaching and serving in Awana. Please rise and... Please all rise, including all the clubbers, Sparky, TNT. Thank you. Let's bow our head and we'll receive the benediction. Lord, we give thanks to you for Jesus, who died for our sins and had risen on the third day while we are still sinners. Lord, may your gracious be dwelling in our hearts through faith, and strengthen us through the Holy Spirit, and follow Jesus' step to teach and share your word faithfully, according to the riches, glory, and love of the Lord Almighty.